Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, September the 26th, 266th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Arcata... Presidio makes it sound a little too much. From the Arcata Station, how's that?
That works.
For the California Highway Patrol, or Arcata Division, or whatever you want to call it. Matt Harvey's alongside. How you doing?
Yes, good.
Great. Yes, good?
Good.
Obviously, somebody's cracking a whip over this young man. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the things that are going on the local roads. There's been a little bit of discussion about some of the traffic in the city of Eureka. Certainly, there's a lot of, not hand-holding, partnering, I guess is a proper term, mm-hmm. between EPD, APD, Fortuna Police, the sheriffs, and CHP. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that. Also get Matt's perspective on the safety corridor, some of the different mm-hmm. choices that were out there that were discussed from the Coastal Commission last week, whether or not he thinks the resolution was an accurate and safe one, or whether there might be some other options that could be still folded into that equation. So we got a bunch of different things to talk about. We'll do it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Here's George Bernard Shaw.
Let's go for it.
You really?
Let's go for it.
Okay. The only man who behaves sensibly is my tailor. He takes my measurement anew every time he sees me, while all the rest go on with their old measurements and expect them to fit me. Something about rules changing, life changing.
That sounds good.
I'm not going to change. Do you guys get a lot of that, Matt? Where, I've done that for X number of years, X number of decades.
Yeah.
Well, what are you stopping me for?
Particularly from my own experience, seatbelt law with people who've been driving for 50 or so years and don't understand why a young buck like myself would stop and give him a ticket when they've driven, you know, and been completely fine for the past 50 years without a seatbelt.
Still, because it's been 15 years?
It's been a long time, but you know, we still get it.
Okay. Right?
Especially in some of the more rural areas, like, you know, we have a lot around here. I think in the bigger cities, you know, those types of laws, people are just more used to you because you're in a more, you know, congested area. But even here, you know, and when I was working in Southern Humboldt, people still, they just get used to driving without a seatbelt, you know.
Well, I know the animal in the back, the dog in the back and the tether.
Oh, yeah.
And the chicken. I mean, that was a big brouhaha 10, 15 years ago with the county putting in whatever that requirement is, and then you have the certain standards, and this has to be bought or that has to be bought. Do you guys pull people over for dogs not being harnessed in the back seat or in the back of a pickup bed?
It's rare, I'll be honest, but it is something that is definitely enforceable and perhaps should be more. But the trick with it is being able to, for an officer, be able to notice that the, you know, sometimes maybe the dog is harnessed, but you can't see it because they're laying up against the, you know, towards the front of the bed, things like that. So it's a bit of a little bit of a hard one to enforce.
More of an add-on? You pull somebody over and the dog's running around?
Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, if they're involved in a crash and the dog, you know, falls out or,
underdog.
Right.
There you go. Flies, yes. So if safety belt. Mm-hmm. is one of the rules, and I presume that there's an exception for some of the historical models that didn't, you know, I mean, if you're driving a Model T and a Model T didn't have it.
Yeah, if it's a vehicle that was originally not built with a safety belt or it was a lap-only belt, that's legal. May not be safe because you can actually have seatbelts added on, but But as far as the law goes, if it's a vehicle that was originally built without a safety belt, then it's legal to drive without it.
What about public transportation? I mean, we got the buses, municipal buses, school buses, things like that that many of them don't have.
There's an exception for commuter buses like that, where anybody that's behind the front seat doesn't have to wear a seatbelt. Same thing goes with limousines. Taxi cabs in the back seat of a taxi cab, things like that. There's rules, exceptions to the law. If anybody wants to look it up, 27.315 of the vehicle code talks about the exceptions there. So, you know, even though there are exceptions, we're always going to recommend wearing the seatbelt. You know, if you get in a car traffic collision and you know, vehicle overturns, and say you're in a vehicle that's exempt from wearing a seatbelt, but it overturns and you still get injured or killed, you know, you can go, you know, argue the law that you were within the rights of the law and things, but, you know, hey, if you get injured or killed, was it worth it?
Well, and if you are, I'm thinking of the buses in the Bay Area more mm-hmm. than,
yeah.
Or BART.
Right.
If that option isn't there, is it safer to stand and to use the wrist? Loopy thing.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if
country young buck.
Yeah, if you're
not just a young buck, you're a country young buck.
Yeah, you know, I spent some time in the big city, but I think you'd probably have to go look at some statistics of commuter bus collisions and see, you know, what might be safer. My initial thought is probably seated. You know, you got a little more around you, and you're not as prone to, you know, flying around the bus or whatever.
But if you're going to roll,
yeah,
you're in the mixer.
Yeah, I think you're just in a bad situation no matter what.
What is the current law about motorcycle safety helmets? Gotta?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got to wear a safety helmet when you're riding a motorcycle. What we see a lot out there is what we call like a novelty helmet. It's kind of like a half helmet, very thin, almost no protection whatsoever. A lot of the bikers like to wear them because they look better and whatever, go with their bike better, whatever the reason may be, but those are illegal. And so...
So they don't qualify.
They don't qualify, yeah. What we require is a three-quarter helmet. It's got to be fully protected, and it's got to be California certified, basically.
So over the years, is that a... I mean, when you say three-quarter, what's...
It needs to go... three-quarter meaning it goes down past the midline of the back of your head.
Oh, okay.
So as opposed to the helmets...
A beanie.
Yeah, sure.
Versus right. Baseball cap, that kind of...
Yeah, it provides more protection, so...
Could you use a football helmet?
No, because it's not... it doesn't have the certifications it needs in California.
So. Okay, fine. KINS, so. News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Matt, the safety quarter, there was a fair amount of discussion in association with the hump or bump or whatever they want to call it, with the Coastal Commission, Caltrans, and everybody, HCOG, all thrown in there. The week after, or the Friday following the Thursday meeting, Ken Woods from Mobile Bay Fire was in, and he got a little exercised because there hadn't been consideration taken for putting stoplights at either of the locations, but the one that passed, the one by Murrayfield or Carl Airport Johnson's.
Red.
Yeah. And he was lamenting the fact that's going to could easily throw 30 to 45 to maybe even a full minute response time to a medical aid out beyond.
Yeah.
Was CHP involved in this process at all? And because I can't imagine you guys are big fans of stoplights in the middle of the highway either.
You know, I was not personally at that meeting. We had representation there from our office. We are supporting Caltrans proposals for the whole corridor project. So we are in support of the half signal there at Airport Road for northbound traffic, the overcrossing there at Indianola Cutoff, and
you'd rather see a stoplight than the situation.
Part of it is
now?
That actually that's in the city of Eureka. For us responding, you know, how many stop signs do you have in Eureka on 5th Street? You know,
but you're not going 55.
That's true.
Or 50 or
what
50,
maybe,
sorry.
You know, what maybe we would like to see that I think would help is if they give us a wide shoulder on the left-hand side.
So you whip around if you need to.
Yeah, if we're rolling to an emergency, we're rolling code 3, and we need to get by traffic, if we just had a big enough shoulder on the left-hand side, I think that's going to take care of it.
Because I would be hard-pressed to think that there are too many folks who consider, if they're in a highway, of pulling over to allow an emergency vehicle. You may switch lanes, but you're not going to go over to the side and stop.
And there are certain situations when you're at a stoplight, sometimes you're stuck. There's nowhere to go, and sometimes it can cause more of a cluster to try to do to move over than to just, you know, stay where you're at. I mean, I'd definitely get over if you can. But we definitely don't want people, for example, what I've seen before is people driving into the intersection on a red light to get out of emergency personnel way. And now we've created another emergency while responding to an emergency.
Yeah. So
we definitely want to avoid that.
So I guess I'll have to wait for Virginia or somebody to come back.
Yeah, you know,
talk
just
about, to put a signal light. We're bypassing, well, it's because of that and a bunch of other communities.
Yeah.
Because of those, now to put one in,
yeah,
may as well put a speed bump in,
yeah,
if you're looking just to slow things down a little bit. So,
we're gonna trust that Caltrans is putting enough due diligence into their studies, off the top of my head, I think if they gave us a big enough shoulder on the left hand side for to bypass that if we need to, that would probably be adequate for us.
What percentage of you guys pullovers in the safety corridor are people who are, I'll say, out-of-towners, but that would also include Humboldt State students that their primary residence is out of the area?
I wouldn't say any more than local. In other words, we're not seeing out-of-towners or people coming in from, for school. Violating the speed limit there any more than local people. What I would say is, from what I've seen personally, is it's more people that drive that every day or twice a day that just get impatient with the slowdown. I actually just posted this to our Facebook today, but the difference between driving, it's a 4.5 mile stretch is the safety corridor. That's from the north side of Eureka to just south of Bayside Cutoff. 4.5 miles. If you drive
south of Bayside or north of Bayside?
North of Bayside. Yeah, it goes just north of Bayside. If you drive an extra 10 miles an hour, you know, so 60 miles an hour, of course, that's 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. If you're able to maintain that speed for the 4.5 miles, you're saving yourself 54 seconds. You know, so people, it feels like you might be, you know, getting to work sooner or whatnot, but the reality is the increased risk of speeding in the safety corridor, you're gaining yourself 54 seconds is the reality of what it is.
I saw somebody weaving in and out of traffic for the first time last week when I was out there. They were going that quick to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting. That's been a long time since I've seen that. Just
Yeah, it's a cluster.
Just a general comment.
We probably need to look at stepping up patrol in that area, and it's hard. You know, we have a large coverage area, and so to focus all of our efforts on only the safety corridor too often pulls away from other areas in the county we need to be. So, you know, as soon as we get all our units in the safety corridor, we're going to have residents out on 36 and other parts of the county saying, hey, where are you? So
makes sense.
Yeah, we do what we can, and sometimes we're able to kind of step it up in that one area.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Matt Harvey.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Vern's Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity when you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Vern's. Get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Vern's Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey from the Highway Patrol Arcata office. Matt, is it just me, or have we been having more, maybe not more accidents, but more serious?
It feels like events? It, definitely. We're actually up considerably with our fatal collision count for this year. So,
booze? Stupid driving?
A lot of booze, definitely. You know, we've seen an increase out on Highway 36. You know, over the past month or so, it feels like we've had. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers, but there was definitely a 2-week or 3-week period where I believe we had 2 or 3 fatal collisions out on 36 alone.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like every other day somebody's dying somewhere on the roads around here.
Right. And, you know, looking at 36, there were several of those were kind of extenuating circumstances. It didn't have to do only with the road. Several of them were DUI related. We had that one where there's a pepper spray incident.
Yeah, how goofy is that one?
Yeah. So
don't use pepper spray on the road when you're driving.
Right, especially Highway 36.
Even I-5, I'd get messed up.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing about Highway 36. If anybody's driven that at all, they know the issues with it. But it's windy. The trees come nearly right up to the edge of the road. And there's basically no forgiveness. If you make a mistake, the trees are not moving for you.
Yeah, well, it's like 199 has it, 299 right. Used to. You'd get the little carve-outs from where the chip trucks were driving by, and that's where the branches grew, and you just had to pay a little bit more attention.
Right. And I think, you know, probably what we've seen, too, is through the summer months, you have people going out, coming to and from Ruth Lake. There's campgrounds out there, things like that, where people might be coming to or from the river, drinking a bit, and I think that's probably a bit of what we're seeing out there right now.
But you'd think that seasonality would allow for that each year.
Yeah.
Yeah, during warmer, but there seems to be a little something different this year.
I agree.
Whatever it's might happen to be.
Yeah.
Now, is 299 experiencing the same, an increased number also of just crashes? Not fatals, but just metal on metal?
We haven't seen any significant increase on 299. You know, I think the blaring one for us right now is Highway 36.
So when you experience this, I don't know if you can say trend. I mean, it's not long enough for a trend. But when you experience a situation like what you guys have been going through, you put another rig out there just to slow it down? Do you make it more visible? Do you put the little speed trailer thingy out there?
We get out there as much as we can, and definitely with the increase of collisions out there and the public requesting us to come out, we you know, we're trying to get as much units out there as possible, just to be a presence. You
the
know,
visibility. A lot.
Visibility is huge for us. And, you know, hey, getting people to slow down, writing some tickets if we have to. You know, we're responding to the public's request to come out there. Absolutely. And we do it as much as we can. The issue with Highway 36 is we only have so many resources, as I said, to spread throughout Humboldt County. And as soon as we get a unit too far out Highway 36, something happens on the 101 where there's increased traffic, and now we got a unit extended because they're too far out Highway 36.
Just too far out.
Yeah, so we got to be careful and you know, use good judgment as to if we send another unit out there, make sure we have adequate coverage on Highway 101.
And will you guys work in concert with the Sheriff Department so that, you know, maybe they're out there providing, or you're providing
we
for them, and they backfill in?
We haven't established anything officially, but I think there is the mutual understanding between us and the Sheriff Department that that there's needed law enforcement presence out there. I just went out recently to wrap up a collision I was investigating out there, and saw the sheriff sitting out in Hydesville, and that's super helpful. You know, when you just have a law enforcement unit sitting there, people see that we're out there, see that we're, you know, our hope is to get people to slow down and drive safer.
So you're not the lone warrior?
We're not the lone warrior. And we have, you know, fishing game are out there every once in a while, and I believe state parks goes out.
Yeah, but
there.
Those trucks look goofy. You can tell that they don't count.
Right. They got a siren and a badge, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so do a bunch of six-year-olds. Are there any rules that are changing as far as driving on the highways or speed? I mean, the safety quarter is something that I've seen in a couple of areas. It's just a little bit different as things change.
Well, I think as safety corridors, I believe ours has been in existence for about 12 years now. And I think as we continue to develop safety corridors, you know, ours particularly, you have to slow down, turn your headlights on during daylight hours. As we see success in those areas, it's being duplicated throughout the state. And you can't argue when you have something that was done that reduces collisions and keeps people safer. I was just recently looking at the numbers of fatal collisions we took. So the CHP, we don't take the entire safety corridor. We take just north of Airport Road to north of Bayside Cutoff. South of Airport Road, basically to the south side of Eureka, that's Eureka Police's jurisdiction. So in our jurisdiction, Airport Road to north of the Bayside Cutoff, we've had one fatal collision since the corridor has been in place. That one fatal collision was north of Bayside Cutoff, just barely in the safety corridor, and it was a wrong-way driver who was under the influence. And so we can't really attribute that to the corridor, you know, whatsoever. So if you look at the statistical data, it's doing its job. I mean, you remember back before we had that corridor, it felt like at least once a year at the cutoff, there was a fatal collision there.
The next closest one I'm familiar with is on 199 going into Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. They have a prolonged stretch there also. Is there anything else that's in our neighborhood that is a safety corridor?
South of, kind of in the Scotia area, there's one area that's a kind of a daylight headlight
section.
Yeah,
by Metropolitan.
Right. It's not as invasive of a safety corridor as north of Eureka, but, you know, that's a good one, too. I mean, you got, you know, the big thing we know of there is the mills out there, and so you got
semi-trucks. I thought that was the Grove, sorry.
Could be, yeah.
At least the last two reports, milling something different.
They,
yeah.
Whatever it is, it's we have semi trucks coming on and off the freeways, and so you know, that's an important area for us to keep safe.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Matt Harvey.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Matt, some of the different challenges that are out there, I know you guys have been putting a push on for recruitment for the last little bit as the state has loosened things up. What about other infrastructure? Do you get infrastructure on a regular basis, the updates, the new computers, the new radar, the various things? Have they been able to be keeping abreast of technology?
We are. For the past 20, 25 years, we've been using Crown Victorias with an old GE radio head. We're just getting to the point where we're able to update our vehicles. Basically, what happened with Crown Victoria is in, I think 2011 was last year, they made the Crown Victoria. Ford made Crown Victoria. That forced us to find a new vehicle. We looked at several different vehicles. We have a list of criteria that has to be met for us to find the right vehicle. We landed on the Ford. It's basically a Ford Police Interceptor SUV version, which is a Ford Explorer base with all our bells and whistles to make it what we need it to be. So that's what we are in the process of going over to.
Now those are the white ones that are roaring around.
The black and white.
Are they white? Are they black and white?
Oh, they're gonna mainly be black and white. There'll probably be a few white ones out there.
I thought I saw a white one last week.
If it was from out of the area.
Could have been Dale North County.
It could have been just passing through. But we're one of the first offices in the state to get the new patrol cars, which is a big benefit to us. Most of our vehicles are well over the mile limit that we set of 100,000 miles. We have some pushing 200,000 miles. So we need new vehicles.
And these units will be four-wheel drive?
They're all-wheel drive.
So that'll help you out?
Yes, it will, definitely. They're going to be much safer. They actually get slightly better gas mileage. They're going to be better in just about every way. We're going to be able to use them. I think they'll be a little more applicable to this area because of the ruralness and some of the rural roads we go on. It's a little more off the ground, so it's going to help out there. All-wheel drive, definitely on some of these off-pavement roads, are going to be helpful.
Will you be able to bring along? I've kidded in the past about chainsaws and shovels.
Uh-huh.
But obviously there's more carrying capacity in these units too, isn't there?
Slightly, maybe. What happens is with our new radio systems, it's basically a whole computer system that runs the lights, siren, the radio. It takes up quite a bit of room in the back. And so because of that and a few other things we have, there's really not much more room in the back. You'd be surprised. But
got a rack on the roof.
Yeah, it's there you go. it's probably slightly more room. Some officers do bring chainsaws with them. It's not something that we supply. But if they want to and they find it useful, some of them.
If you're traveling in the area where the trees are.
Right. Hey, it can save 36. You a lot of time. Right. Yeah. If you don't want to wait for somebody with a chainsaw to come out, it can definitely save some time.
Yeah, get some of the larger Widowmakers or something across the road. You can't drag that thing away.
There you go. Yeah.
You were sharing also that there's a new law coming into the state.
Yeah, just yesterday, Jerry Brown signed Assembly Bill 1371. It's pretty simple. Basically, what it says is that if you're driving in the same direction as a bicyclist and they're on the right side of the road, you have to leave 3 feet between your vehicle and the bicyclist, or drive at a slow enough speed that's safe for you and the bicyclist. So this legislation, from what I understand, has come up over the past few years, and the wording has been such that it basically forced vehicles into opposing traffic or crossing the double yellows. So that's why it hasn't been passed up until this point. The language has been revised to allow the 3 feet or slowing down, which makes a lot more sense. And, to be honest with you, I'm looking at it, and at first I was a little...
I'm thinking Highway 36.
Yeah, it's...
You got a big boy following behind you, now you got one of these guys that decides they want to be a car on the bike, and they're out in the middle of the lane.
This law doesn't negate bicyclists for obeying the rules of the road. One of the rules of the road is that you slower traffic pulls to the right. This does not negate bicyclists for doing what they're supposed to do, but it does provide them more safety and it'll hopefully reduce traffic collisions.
The area around the bluffs, around the lagoon, lagoons, where a lot of the out of the area bicyclists decide that they're out in the middle of the road, does that change anything there at all? I know what most people would probably slow down,
right,
or pass, or honk and see if we can get their attention to get them over to the side of the road.
Yeah.
The application of this is pretty much still the same. Drive safe, pay attention.
Yeah, really reading this law, really, it's putting on paper what we probably should already be doing. In this area, we have a large bicycle community, which I think is good. It promotes, safety and fitness and things like that. And so I think it's just going to provide more safety for local residents who, you know, like to get out there and ride bikes.
If somebody's interested in that, then they can go to your guys' website and get more information off.
Yep, and I'll put a little plug for our Facebook and Twitter accounts as well. If people want to like us on that, they can get more exclusive, up-to-date information about CHP.
And see somebody's smiley face. Thanks for coming by.
That would be
the face part of the Facebook.
There you go.
Yeah. We've been Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.